Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. As shared before, it's the Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah in the 42nd chapter that's the basis for the meditation and that helps us tie into the gospel lesson for this morning as well. So we encourage you to keep that in front of you in the bulletin. We won't repeat it at this point. I do invite you to bow your head and heart with me for a word of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In that Redeemer, Jesus Christ, your fellow saints of the Most High God, a few years back, NBC News in San Diego, California, ran a story about a certain fella by the name of Keith Allen Barton. Seems that Mr. Barton made a lot of promises. He claimed he could cure things like cancer and HIV, all with a new alternative therapy that he had discovered and put into place. And people flocked to Dr. Barton. They trusted him, put their lives in his hands. And unfortunately, that was a mistake. Because you see, he wasn't a real doctor. He had no medical training. His treatments didn't cure anyone. In fact, they only left patients robbed of tens of thousands of dollars, and in one case, a 9-year-old girl died because she didn't get the real treatment she needed. This Barton character preyed on those who were desperate and in desperate need of hope. And in the end, those who came to him had their hopes dashed, smashed to pieces when he failed to deliver. Well, our text this morning from Isaiah 42 shows and tells an entirely different story. After exposing in the previous chapter all the pretenders, all the false gods who couldn't do anything except snuff out hope, our Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, introduces the real contender, his chosen servant, who will fight for us and deliver us from those pains in life and eternity that we need deliverance from. And he will deliver exactly what those who are in need need, real hope. That servant, of course, turns out 7 centuries later to be none other than our Lord Jesus himself. Jesus is the real contender. Jesus is the one who delivers forgiveness of sins and life and salvation that you and I desperately need. Jesus is the one who delivers us from death to life eternal. Nowadays, people have lots of choices. And it seems they always choose what they think will bring them meaning and security in their lives. Reminds me of a seminary prof who once told us at a pastor's conference, an idol or is anything or anyone that we believe will give us what only God can. An idol is someone or something we look at and say, if I can have that, if I can get that, then my life will have value. It'll have significance. It'll have meaning. And I can dwell secure. Or to put it negatively, an idol is something that you and I feel we can't live without. So this morning, I want you to ponder which one you would say you couldn't live without during this coming week. Your God or your paycheck? Your church or Facebook? Prayer or Twitter? Eternal life or your current lifestyle? It's no secret that many people choose money, self-indulgence, sexual pleasure, power, success, that they'll look to presidents and rulers to keep them safe and prosperous, to solve all of their and society's problems, and that they'll look to their own good works to the acclaim of others, to give meaning to their life. But brothers and sisters in Christ, all of those are pretenders. And there's a greater danger here than just making the wrong choice. There's the danger that that choice will lead to destroying you and me and leave us with nothing but eternal regret and despair. That's why Jesus, or Yahweh, says to each of us who is clinging to false hopes and false gods, no, don't fall for that. Look here. This is my servant. Here's my choice for hope and salvation, the one who will contend for us. And we'll see soon enough that this one will be ridiculed and rejected by men. And so God points to his chosen well before the ridicule and the reviling begin, so that when it does take place, we won't falter in our faith or faithfulness. When the world reviles you and your faith, think back to this text and hear God say to you, "Behold my servant in whom my soul delights." He was called in righteousness. He is, as Peter would later put it, in the sight of God, chosen and precious. This chosen servant will not depend on the grace of God to carry out his purposes. No, in fact, he becomes the source of God's grace to all the rest of us, the one who is truly righteous. And finally, this chosen one of God will be set apart from all the pretenders by a special anointing of God's Holy Spirit, which will not only empower him for his task, but also indicate to all that he's the one sent and set apart by God. "I have put my spirit upon him." No others will receive this anointing, the Spirit of God descending upon him in bodily form as a dove, and no others will be guaranteed to do what he does and bring about what he will for those who desperately need hope and deliverance. That's what makes the spirit or the servant of the Lord different from all the pretenders. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. Because he is chosen by God and upheld by him, he carries out his task in the quiet confidence that he is doing God's will. And when this true servant of the Lord was arrested and stood before Pilate facing a lot of false accusations, you'll notice he didn't have any need to defend himself, so he remained silent. Because he's anointed by the Holy Spirit, he doesn't need to depend upon persuasive arguments or slick promotional campaigns in order to convince people that he's able to bring God's justice into the world. He doesn't sell himself. He simply gives himself. The servant of the Lord is also different from all the pretenders because he shows compassion on those who are weak and wavering, near the breaking point, or whose faith is flickering. So if you're one of those today whose conscience is wounded by sin, either your own or another's, or whose spirit is weak, weakened by the world around you, the burdens and goings on in life, in government, in church, he won't write you off as someone who's beyond hope, as someone who's not worth the effort. He won't tell you to try harder in order to escape your problems, or to pray harder, or to have a more sincere faith. In that way, he is so different from all the pretenders, because he doesn't look to you to do it. He does it himself. He'll come to you and bind you up with his healing word of forgiveness and life. This servant of the Lord is also unique, the real contender, if you will, in that he shines above the pretenders. The servant of the Lord shines above them because he shines in the darkness. He has come to set the prisoners free, free from the darkness of sin. And while all the other false gods only imprison, this servant of the Lord sets free. He brings light and life to light. I'm sure Joseph and all of those involved in going to the prison in Muskegon on a weekly basis in order to do ministry there would shout a hearty amen to the words of an inmate that I'll call Tyler, whose testimony was shared with us pastors along the lakeshore back when the pastors from Faith Lutheran in Whitehall also were involved in prison ministry at the Muskegon facility. Tyler shared with us at a conference that waking up in prison was a nightmare to him, not because it was particularly scary or a place that he feared. That wasn't the aspect that troubled him. It was the fact that he had no options, that he was constantly being told by those in authority over him what to do and when to do it. He was told by them when to eat and what to eat. Rec time was the same, bedtime also, you name it, everything was out of his control. Spiritual imprisonment to sin is in many ways the same. When you're spiritually imprisoned to sin, your flesh is in control. You're not. Your sin is controlling you, and as Paul says, you're a slave to it. So whether it's drugs or stealing or sexual immorality or all of the above or anything else, I've found that time and time again, left to my own devices, I'm always ensnared by my sin, and found that the only way out of that, out of this prison, if you will, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives you and me the strength to resist the paths of sin, which lead only to death, and he does so by giving himself, by dying for the sins of the world and rising again on the third day, triumphing over sin and death so that you and I could not only be forgiven but set free from our bondage. Jesus died for my sins and yours. To forgive them, yes, but also to, as the song said, break the chains, to set us free and from them and their power over us. Long ago, in the days of Isaiah, God designated his servant to set the prisoners free. The servant delivered on that promise for Tyler, who was baptized, by the way, behind prison bars, but given the ultimate freedom. He knows what justice is, being sentenced for his offenses, but he also knows what God's justice is, having been set free from his sin and made right with God through Christ Jesus. Completely forgiven, fully restored, and renewed in Christ. That servant came not only for Tyler, but for you and me as well. Isaiah was sent with the prophecy revealing the servant of the Lord. It was a message for those who would be tempted to find their hope in this world, in themselves, or in other things. It's a message for those who misplaced their trust, and that misplaced trust was about to leave them with nothing but brokenness and death. And it was a call away from the false gods and prophets of their time in order that they might live with Yahweh, the true God. Well, you know, you and I know, that this one who was promised has now come, manifested in the waters at the Jordan River. God has not only promised, he has delivered. And in him, he has delivered you and me. Praise God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, our risen and reigning Lord and Savior. Amen.